broadcasting live from somewhere in the desert, posting up truth like a stamp in the corner of a letter. It's Leander Grace, that loud. Amid lies, we seek truth. Amid truth, we awaken. And once awakened, we speak truth everywhere. Now we're opening night and powering to reveal what's been hidden in plain sight. It's time for Leander Grace Out Loud, because your silence will not protect you. Leander Grace, also host of Holistic Truth, is an empathic intuitive, gifted seer, apostolic teacher, and compassionate awakening coach. She's walked the path of the warrior, the mother, the shaman, the mystic, counselor, and magician. Passionate about helping you find your answers, Leander Grace gets right to the center of what may be holding you back and offers guidance and support for development of those spiritual habits and skills that can best serve you in your own life. Leander Grace is a willing instrument of Holy Spirit, and by an agreement of relationship allows the guardian realm to channel information through her. Because of her open and loving heart, Leander Grace can zero in on and adjust to the information realm that best serves you, including those things only recorded within Akasha. Call in, listen in, or join in. What's your question? Leander Grace can get some answers, but you'll own experience. Remember to watch for signposts, to connect the dots, to find your path, to live in love, and to do good. As we learn to forgive, we will awaken that is off Dua. Oh, awaken as off Dua indeed. Good evening, Lottie Dottie, and every other body, and a hearty hello to all you light workers, you seed sowers, you avatars, and our listening spirit and space force rangers. A shout out to all you scholars and diggers and memers as well, whose work is not for sissies. We want to welcome you here to Empathic Channel. It is Monday, September 11th, 2023, and we broadcast live from the high mountain desert. Our goal today has become our habit, is to help folks with an empowering assist on our road to owning our own experience. I am your host and Empathic Channel, Leander Grace, and the connections are clear, the pipes are open, and the view of all is spectacular, but the energy is a little low today simply because they've created a day of mourning for us. We'll talk about that in a minute. But on so many levels, the view is spectacular. Change is upon us, and we is inclusive, of course, we're blessed to be able to share with you and bring you the program today. We do and continue to hold a space of peace, love, and grace while the Great Awakening continues to accelerate across the face of the earth. But here on an Empathic Channel, we do some a little bit of taking on some of the stuff, guys. So we're talking about empathy. We've been talking about empathy on Empathic Channel for a very long time. Tonight's topic is going to be a little different. Tonight's topic, we're going to talk about contending for the faith, and it has everything as much to do with empathy and our growth and our spiritual growth and our emotional growth and dare I say, our empathic growth. And so we'll be talking a lot about that, in fact, solely on the program this evening. It will be a call-in program. I didn't put that on there. Perhaps I should do that so that folks know it. And we'll do that on the fly here, so you guys know that the phone lines are open. So phone lines are open. We will take calls directly. We want to get through a little bit of the topic here this evening. We want to really take a look at some of the things that are going on so that folks can be prepared for some of the squishing. And I'm talking about some of the emotional squishing, some of the things that are going on so that we can understand some things about us. Tonight's topic is contending for the faith. Now, I did write a book, and it's not yet published. It's looking for the editor yet. I haven't found that one yet. It won't try to rewrite. It'll just try to excite the book there. So, you know, in contending for the faith, we're told in the scriptures that we need to contend for the faith of Yeshua, that faith which was so readily given to the saints, and that we, as believers going forward, need to contend for that faith. And in the book that I wrote, that the question is, who are the contenders? We're going to talk about that battle tonight. We're going to talk about that internal struggle. We're going to take a look at it. I'm going to read some things directly out of the book. We're going to take a look at some personalities, some souls, some ego, some mind, and talk about the control center and who's running it. Because we can all feel this calmness that's coming on. There's a little bit of an underlay this morning as everybody was paying attention to the lives lost, to the greater than nearly 10,000, yes, not two, but 10,000 lives, souls that were lost that day as a matter of treachery, and that'll be coming out as we go further along. But a battle is imminent, and the battle is internal, very much internal. And the Holy Spirit is invited, and pride doesn't stand a chance. That's what we're going to talk about tonight, and we're going to do some reading out of the book. Because it's, you know, that's kind of what the Guardian said. They bring the book to the air, and so we're going to do that. We did that a little bit on a previous program, but we're going to go ahead and bring it on the air tonight and give you guys a little bit of a taste of some of the internal battle and some of the things that we might have to look on. So what exactly does it mean to contend for the faith of Yeshua? And this is beginning, of course, on page 17 of the book. And what exactly is contended for such a prize as the faith of Yeshua, what does that look like? And so attending to the first question, we ask, who are the contenders? Well, let's take a look. Now, for this part, guys, we're going to have to go ahead and take a drink, because this is a little bit of a stuff we're going to talk about. So when we're talking about who are the contenders, who are the contenders for our faith? Who are we fighting? Right, as we are warriors for the faith, as we are contending, who are we fighting? Where is the battle? Right? And we already know in Ephesians how to behave, and in Romans 7, Paul tells us that we fight against our members. And so in the context of this book, we're going to go ahead and take a look at these members as the contenders for this faith. So who are the contenders? Let's take a look. In this corner, we have personality, which is authentic or faux, face or front, reflection or projection. It is what a person outwardly presents to others during interaction. The cover is subject to labels. So what is presenting? And in this corner, we have the soul, the heart of being, the essence of the breath of the Creator that animates our being into a living soul. The soul seeks kindred with and reaches out to reconnect to the heart of the Creator. Is it the soul which risks reaching out to make the connection to another soul? Is it the soul that reflects the authentic face? We have another corner over here with ego, the self-appointed protector of the soul from all perceived threats, both observing, identifying, defining, fighting, fleeing, threatening, arguing, excuse and scene-making, lying to cover, and even truth-telling. Ego's got quite a bit of a repertoire there, we would say. So ego is not always comfortable with soul's risk to reach out. Ego is instinctive. Learning quickly and acting reflexively to protect, ego uses the first belief as a foundational cornerstone for building a belief structure. That structure, a paradigm, becomes a structured system of beliefs. But is the first belief of ego correct or in error, and is it the ego that fakes the front with projections? Oh, we've got some contenders here, don't we? Well, you can just see them kind of trying to duke it out, right? For the mind, the control center, the memory storage and information processor that runs the biological unit with and without conscious thought. Through the physical senses, it perceives what is lacking inside, and it perceives what is available outside, whether it's hunger and need and food is filled. And what is it that connects or attaches a meaning to what the senses perceive? And what if meanings get reversed or perversed? The question then becomes, who's running the control center? An ego or a soul? Is ego a friend or foe? Does ego help or hurt? It is the ego that reflexively averts the body from sensed danger, hot stove, oncoming car. It is the ego also that reflexively uses a preemptive strike of ugly name-calling as a projective defense. The ego likes rules, and rules to the ego are behavior boundaries. Ego receives acceptable rules and makes rules for self and others to keep the environment safe and familiar. The ego protects itself, protects its rules. So let's go ahead and take a pause there. Isn't that something? This whole battle that's going on, and these are the characters that are contending for, we contend with for the faith. So let's go ahead and continue. Wounds to the soul are protected by the ego to keep the soul safe. I'm going to read that again. Wounds to the soul are protected by the ego to keep the soul safe. Question becomes, what happens if the ego develops mistaken belief systems? What happens when the ego takes center stage? Sometimes it can be quite entertaining. But what happens when ego hijacks the control center because it no longer trusts the soul in self-directed acts? Not so funny. And what if the ego, in its attempt to protect and keep the soul safe, instead begins to override it, ignore it, quieting the soul, hijacking the mind, imprisoning the soul with fear and more rules? And why would the ego act in this way? Who or what is directing the ego? What happens when the ego, self-will, runs riot and roughshod over the soul? And what if the ego is wrong? And what if we all have it all very, very wrong? What would it look like? Faithful soul running the software program in the control center. And what would it look like if fearful ego ran the program in the control center? And let's take a look. And then we enter into the story. So that is the introduction, or the preface, into all of the things that are going on in this place that student finds himself in. And the story is predicated on student returning to the Psalm Soul Restoration Center to learn more things, to get to the bottom of all of his questions so that he can own his own experience. And the story takes us through his journey and his interactions with the teacher and the different portions of himself. Now, this book is predicated, or actually is, you know, dedicated and predicated on the work done by Debbie Ford, may she rest in peace, and the shadow work that she did, and the things that I learned out of that particular discipline. So I just wanted to share that with you all. There's a little bit more as well that I wanted to share, because this is something that, you know, when we're talking about empathy and we're talking about our own emotional growth and we're talking about our own spiritual centers and taking responsibility for those things that are us and being true to ourselves and our own self, all of those things that we say, do we know us? Do we know who that we are? And when we say to thine own self be true, do we know what that means? And so this book takes student through his final, through his next leg of his journey. And in this particular location that student finds himself in, there are a lot of restrictions on speech and things and where things can and cannot be said. So it's a discipline in boundaries as well throughout the reading of this of the book. And I wanted to go ahead and bring us down to page, I believe it was 49 that we have here. And I'm, like I said, it's a book looking for an editor, and I think we might be finding one very, very soon. I'm kind of excited about it. So in the long journey of all of this, you know, student finds himself in a counseling session with his, it's an attendance with his teacher, and he asks the question, and things didn't quite go the way he wanted them to. So by the time he gets back to his chambers, it says, and taking account, he left his chambers this morning with a decision and a question. Within a relatively short span of time, he returns with his question, his dilemma, a challenge, a task, and the public correction of an ego slap, no longer sure of his decision. So we're finding a student in the middle of a turmoil, and as some of you know, in the mental health profession as well as in the physical health profession, that there comes a time when things culminate and it pushes the student or the patient or the recovering individual to a what's considered a healing crisis. And this is taking student at the time of his healing crisis, where he's about to go through that portal of believing, of finding out some things he didn't know. And so when he gets there, you know, he's pondering to himself, and he reminds himself that the journey asks and answers, and that the answers will come. And so the narrator pops in and says, it is expected and encouraged that an attendant, once in chambers and dismissed, would allow his mind to wander. It was learned long ago, while establishing the customs of the Restoration Center, that, too tightly controlled, the mind will tear itself apart to feel free, and a torn mind is not easily mended. Nourishment, rest, fresh air, exercise, peer group, socialing, purposeful, pondering, imagining the future, reflecting on the past, self-expression through honest communication, and human touch are all necessary components for a healthy mind, but not all are necessarily exercised at all times. The discipline of presencing, now this is where we get into some post-traumatic stress issues, the discipline of presencing oneself to a task at hand is not easily achieved if the body lacks nourishment and rest. Primal instincts and survival are triggered in the distressed body, closing down the mind to any thought but survival. Distress in the soul begins as it witnesses its own, here we go, distress in the soul begins as it witnesses its own violent thoughts and actions in verbal lashing out, projections and name-calling, other behaviors against its own moral core, reflexively, just to survive. This is when the ego begins to distress the soul, and the soul distresses the mind. It continues in the next paragraph to explain the outcome of this. The amount of emotional collateral damage a fearful, wounded ego-run riot can cause in a very short time can be neither imagined nor measured. It is as a tornado in an amusement park. One minute everybody's laughing, and then all the fun and enjoyment gets sucked up and replaced with infectious mental chaos. This wounded wild animal ego in survival will overtly dare you to help. It is a sad situation, yet this heals quickly once trust is gained. So I'm going to go ahead and pause right there and just explain a little bit what's going on with student here, is that he is being challenged at a very primal level to face very primal things that he primally does not want to face. But it has come a point where his ego and his soul are going to do battle, because there are truths that need to be revealed that can no longer be hidden. And those portions of him that have holding it back are no longer willing to play this game. So he's going to come face to face with himself, face to face with some of his fears. And I want to continue just in this venue so you can understand the degree of preparation that needs to be considered when we're dealing with somebody in ego survival mode. So this wounded wild animal, and that's what the guardians call it as well. So dealing with any ego at the primal level is a task for which even a master teacher must brace himself and perform great preparation to attend his own ego's wounds before entering the room and during the time of interaction with this type. Even then, the master teacher will choose to quickly seek his own recovery once the animal is fed, washed, clothed, rested, and accepts human touch. Basic needs must be met, or the ego will not release the mind. Ego must survive. Survival is its only directive, and everything else is secondary. And I'm going to go ahead and leave that right there, because we're going to get into skills and beliefs and things of that nature, which is beyond the scope of this broadcast. So why did I bring this out here now? Why is this? Because our internal battles are imminent. Our internal battles are imminent. Now, last week on the broadcast, we were also talking about, I believe, on Holistic Truth, you know, and it could have been on Empathic Channel, but some of the days are kind of squishing together during this acceleration. There's a quickening going on, and I think some folks are noticing it as well. Is that we're going to need some very definite skills, as those things that we do not want to face are going to come out, and we're going to have to face them. Some of those portions that are the ugliest part of ours have been waiting to show their face, and it's been showing it. And then that may be settled down just a little bit, and it may not be coming up anymore, and this may be post-information to bring forward. But understand that it, just as there is a cycle of grief, there is a cycle of recovery, and although not every wounded ego is going to get to this point of being a wounded animal, totally unreasonable, and needing to gain trust because it has been through that much. So what do we do with that, listeners? What do we do with that, empaths and highly sensitive people? Well, when we're dealing with people who are angry with no ego boundaries, with no self-control and no emotional maturity, the probability of being lashed out towards somebody who has all of those traits, emotional maturity, good boundaries and all of that. And why is that? Why do we do this to each other? I'm leaving a little bit of the context of the book and want to teach a little bit around of the whys we do it. And I say it's just spreading the homework. It's assigning somebody else our own homework. And that's kind of what projection is. Right? Is it not when we say, when we call somebody a name or project an idea or a noun, a person, place, a thing, an adjective onto an individual, we project that. We're talking about ourselves more than the person that we don't know. But is it not also so that we can see it outside ourselves? Could it also be that there are times that some will activate that projection and project themselves onto somebody else and say, well, you just la, 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 and make that whole projection happen, as a means, as a coping mechanism, so that the other person can do their homework, do the homework of the one doing the projection. And again, to be a case in point, let's just say that there's a friend of yours that's having a hard time, or somebody that you know, an acquaintance or whatever, a buddy in school, you know, is having a really hard time, a particularly rough day, and nobody necessarily knows it. Let me go ahead and get a drink. I'm having a particularly rough day. And you come up, now you guys are friends. Let's say you're classmates and you're friends and that. And you say something silly or ignorant or stupid like you've always said because they're classmates. And I see you 5'6", 2". And you pop off because it's normal. And your friend all of a sudden just explodes and gives you a tirade of ugliness. What do you do with that? You know, last week we had Desmond on, and he says, you know, trying to understand and all that. And it's like, yeah, there are times that we do need to be understanding, and this particular scenario is going to be one of those times. If it's on purpose to push your buttons, I suggest strong rebukes, and I talked about that last week. That's just me. But if this is actually someone wounding on you, right, you can become indignant. We can become indignant and say, ooh, don't wound on me. Don't bleed on me. I didn't cut you. And there is a time to set that boundary. But there's also a time to watch the ego do what the ego needs to do. And just like your friend popping off and going, rah, 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 give your friend some space. And what did he just do? He projected a bunch of crap on you. You back off. He gets to look at it and perhaps process it together. That's a good understanding, compassionate way to kind of mirror back and forth. But what happens if we've got two emotionally immature people, and one pops off and the other one pops off and the other one pops off? Pretty soon they're going to be popping each other physically because one ego won't give up. Oh, yeah. So this is the difference in a battle between two people with two egos, right? But then there's also the internal battle when the ego doesn't know best, but it keeps trying to insist that it does. And that's when we get into trouble. This is when, you know, when Jung's saying that, you know, those things that are unresolved within us will show itself outside of us. And it's going to be in projection, and it's going to be in acting up, and it's going to be throwing little fits, or it's going to be an extreme behavior or something else. Our soul will ensure, or let me say this another way, our ego will ensure that attention is drawn to the problem so that the soul is protected. Is it going to be always a functional thing? No. But it is going to be a thing. We just went ahead and lost a caller. The area code 526. Feel free to call back. We'll be taking calls here in a minute on the other side of the break. So this is the little dance that we see that goes on and the things that we're arguing. And one of the things that we have to understand is ego is not necessarily an enemy. It's not necessarily something that we need to push down and suppress and beat into submission. Perhaps that part of the ego, right, the guardians, well, the whole premise of the book is, you know, personalities are formed, our egos are attached, but the soul makes the connection, and that soul makes the connection to God and to other souls, and the ego is what is attached to the physical, right? All the physical things, and wants to protect the physical things and the physical environment. And it is the ego also that is subject to the most confusion because it expects things to happen. And when things that are supposed to happen don't, and things that aren't supposed to happen do happen, the ego becomes very, very confused. And if it becomes a habit and a pattern of confusion, of action, reaction without any forethought, and that is an ego survival mode. If there's no thought out plan and there's no self-control and no self-discipline, that would be an ego in survival. So Leanna Grace, what do you do with this ego in survival? You wait. You wait. You wait for the ego to feel safe. You know, and I've used before the example of Lahaina, Hawaii, on Maui. The people are going to be in survival mode for a while, and the longer the people are in survival mode, the greater chance that there is a dysfunction of habit that's created that will pass over in from survival mode into thrive mode, but we may still see little remnants, right? Say somebody had to pack away some food and stuff, they still may be food insecure even though their cupboards are full. That's what we're talking about, having a little bit of ego still left in survival mode. Well, what happens when we're dealing with adults who have been living with problems, those who have been in survival mode, those who have been in battered situations that are coming out of it, those who have been fill in the blank, and we now know that our nation has been in a battered nation syndrome for a very long time. And it would seem to me that just as a person, if we're using fractal logic, that just as people, as individuals, would develop dysfunctional habits and lash out, it seems as though also communities could be in the same shape. That's where prayer comes together and brings us together, so that we can put those boundaries and those barriers down from this time that we've had. So the personality is what we show, what we show people, and it's safe to see on the surface. The soul is who we are, right? And we use it all, the mind is controlled. The decisions are made either through the soul with love, through love by the soul, or it's going to be from one of the ego things. And can the ego love? Of course it can. The ego loves itself and others. But the ego loves itself. The ego loves the soul. The ego loves to be alive. And the ego is reliant upon the soul for its very existence. If the soul dies, the ego's gone. So there's a vested interest in that. And we're going to talk a little bit about narcissism on the other side of the break. Phone lines are open. Feel free to go ahead and call in. Let me give you a little bit of information about the calls before we open up those phone lines, let folks know what that is. So the calls are from spirit, right? Basically is what that is. So a little bit about those intuit. We take all the calls here in the studio, and I trust my soul guardian team to take care of the filters and all the rest. It is Holy Spirit-connected guidance. We respect all boundaries and dignity of person and spirit. What does that mean? Is, well, you know, I'm just not going to go ahead and try to make you seem foolish on air. You know, we're going to go ahead and lift you up and see if we can't help. So you ask a question, get an answer. The guardians love questions, so do I, and we're also here to have some fun. We will have some laughter as we laugh at ourselves. It is good medicine, but we will bring it only if the situation calls for it. So what topics? The guardians say it is your call. Any type of the questions are okay on topic. Just simply be respectful. So let me give you that call-in number before we go to the break. So for those of you listening remotely, don't know who you are, we do know that you are. And for joining us here on the broadcast this evening, we are grateful. So the call-in number is 563-999-3647. Again, the call-in number here to the studio for a reading or to join in, call in, listen in, all that stuff. That call-in number is 563-999-3647. And we'll get the readings underway here right after the break. We're going to take a little bit of a break. We're going to listen from Dan Fogelberg, part of the plan, hitting back from the way back machine on that. But, you know, it's a good one. It's about knowing ourselves, knowing our strengths. We're going to talk about that on the other side of the break, talk about our emotions, talk about the strength of all of our emotions. And I'll just keep teaching until someone calls in and asks for a reading or wants to add something to it as well. I am your host, Leanna Grace. We're broadcasting live from the High Mountain Desert. This is Empathic Channel, broadcasting on Holistic Truth through Blog Talk Radio. We're part of an Atzerim network. And we'll be back on the other side. Dan Fogelberg, part of the plan.
You know.
lies, we seek truth. Amid truth, we awaken. It's Leander Grace Out Loud, because your silence will not protect you. Oh no, silence won't protect you. Welcome back here to Empathic Channel. I am your host, and Empathic Channel phone lines are open. We're ready to take some calls. And for those of you who would like to call in, feel free to do so. That call-in number again is 563-999-3647. The panel's open. Feel free. We'll just keep talking about this. We're going to go into some narcissism and talk a little bit about that, why it is important. It is an important feature for us to have. And you say, well, wait a minute, Leander Grace, everybody talks about narcissists being bad and mean and ugly and yucky people and self-centered. And yes, narcissists, those who suffer from a narcissistic personality disorder, are very dangerous people, borderline sociopaths, some of them all the way sociopaths. Of course, they not necessarily caring about other folks, but understand that narcissism is also necessary for our survival. It is necessary for our survival to think in terms of a small infant who is perhaps undernourished, undersized, premature, and is fighting for its life. It is that quality of narcissism, of loving life, loving self, loving this ability, this experience. It's narcissism, self-love. You got to love yourself. It is an important feature. Now, when that self-love becomes all-encompassing and it's the only thing that we see about, well, that's when it becomes kind of like a disorder and we start going poo-poo on other people, right, for the sake of our own. And so something else to think in terms of ego, and egos are attached, is ego's attachment to experiences. It's the ego's attachment to experiences that can lock the learning mind in frustration, right? And becoming aware of these attachments in this monastery setting that student finds himself in is the first work of the novice attendant. Now, students way beyond the novice attendant in this, but it is the first work of the novice attendant is to become aware of the fact that there are ego attachments to experiences that lock the learning mind. And so going forward, understand that as this shaking and baking and the squishing and all these things are happening, as we could be bombarded by some more, you know, of different frequencies and that to wake us up and to shake us up, understand that we may be forced to see and face portions of ourselves that we don't want to admit exist. And Debbie Ford referred to these portions as shadows. Now I'm giving it a very broad brush. It's not quite as distinct as the way that she taught it. But we stuff these portions of ourselves that we find that others have told us or that we ourselves have found unacceptable, and those still are parts of ourselves, but we've not yet learned how to deal with them. Case in point, you know, I growing up, people said that I talk too much. Well, give her a microphone, put her on the air, give her something utility to do. And then that which was perhaps a hindrance in some situations becomes an asset in this situation. But if I had listened to other people to be quiet, for those who would say that, then I might not have gotten on the air to speak out loud. And so in dealing with these things, in dealing with these shadows, these portions of ourselves, you know, that we don't want to deal with, that we don't want to admit is there, it's going to come up and bite us. Those things we've been holding down and refusing to look at, God's going to make sure it comes right smack in our face. And it's either going to be something that we do by plan or by accident, but God's going to make sure that we see ourselves in each other. Now, if we are focused and we are centered on Christ and we are praying and we are trying to see the best in each other, then hopefully we will see the best of ourselves in each other. And sometimes when we see someone, something of a very high value in somebody else, and if there is a fear that we aren't going to be able to attain it, and we become jealous of that other person, a shadow could form, and then this is when we start acting out in ego. And our ego will tell everybody how insecure we are by our lashing out. Because it's insecure, it believes that the soul must be insecure. It's not that the soul, at the soul level, is necessarily insecure, but the ego, with all its attachments, is insecure for the soul, and then it acts out. Do you understand how this contention works? The other drawback with the ego is that it is so protective that if it has fear and if it becomes afraid, and there's not really a reason, but it becomes twisted in its belief system, it will align with the adversary to protect the soul. That's a mistaken step. It's an error. It's a misjudgment. So if the ego does the wrong thing for the right reasons, well, what do you mean, Leanna Grace? The ego does the wrong thing for the right reasons. So the person does the wrong thing for the right reasons. Well, let's take a look at some of the hot topics that we've been talking on the world stage. We've been talking a lot about the topic of child sex trafficking, human trafficking in general. So these souls that have been able to make it out alive, they've been able to survive and be freed from this horrendous practice, understand they have been through some things that are unimaginable, things that make us uncomfortable just to think about, let alone talk about. And during their time of captivity, it was necessary to survive during their time of captivity. And during their time of captivity, they were forced to do things that were against their own moral core. And that in motion sets the ego against the soul, and the soul against the mind against the soul, and then the battle occurs. Does the person choose to survive and do those things? Okay, and then now the person survives, and now the danger is past. But the memory of what was necessary follows. The memory of what occurred follows. And the processing of all of those things are necessary, but not all at once. And during each of these moments of triumph, of personal battle, Holy Spirit being invited, pride doesn't stand a chance to keep us from our next level of growth. And this is why the guardians say that journaling is so very important. Because we can talk to ourselves honestly in ways that we won't let anybody else talk. And I'm not talking about putting down degrading things. I'm not talking about opening your journal and saying bad stuff to yourself. You should have known better. You don't should on yourself in your journal. But we can own what we did. We can own our fears. We can own these things. And then once they're out there to be owned and they're on this pencil or they're on this paper in front of us, we're like, wow, it doesn't bite. And the tears will come and, you know, the fleshing out and all of those things, the processing will occur. But I want to say this to my listeners, is that some of these children and some of these young adults can survive what they survived and go through what they go through and still find love in their heart and choose to do the loving thing because they know what happens when people are not loving because they were at the other end of it. They become treasures, precious gems to guard and to hold and hopefully to create an environment that will help re-nurture some semblance of innocence back inside their soul. And say, well, the interface, why would it be necessary to do, so the ego can let go and stop fighting. And the ego doesn't want to fight except to protect the soul. And the ego will use foes and fronts and falsehoods and all this stuff and personalities and all of those things to broadcast, to show, to project, to animate what it is that's going on in the soul. Sometimes it's to cover. Sometimes it's to highlight. Sometimes it's just to have fun. But the personality is formed over time, over experience, over these things. So there are several types of personalities, right? We talk about, oh my goodness, now I'm just drawing a blank. And don't go to types. But I do want to speak about one. And the Guardian said, just think about this. And there's a personality type that is mentioned in mental health fields, and it's called pliant, P-L-I-A-N-T, pliant personality. And according to the mental health descriptions of all of that and then the books, what it describes it as is a personality that is easily fooled. That is a definition that is naive or gullible and all that. And although there may be attributes and traits about that with a pliant personality, what I'm going to postulate, what I'm going to put forth and have folks consider is that a pliant personality is a resilient personality. A pliant personality is one that is easily malleable. It's bendable. The will is not the personality. The will is something completely different. If the will is pliant, you know, then there's no self-will, of course, then that's an issue. There's no narcissism. There's no ego protection. Oh, it fits together. But with the personality, you know, that's pliant, it usually is one that fits in, usually one that is also resilient from experiences, malleable, pliant, changing. Not changing as in variant and unreliable and inconsistent, but changing according to circumstance, according to need. And I think one of the preachers said it last week, and Paul was talking about it, you know, it's all things to all people, pliant personality. Not everybody's that pliant, but that's pliant personality. It's not a lack of will, but it's the ability to bend and be malleable in situations and in challenges. And when hit back, you know, when hit down or beat down or fall down or whatever that, get back up from the challenge, get back up and bounce back up and rise. So that is the pliant personality, one that can mold itself, reshape itself into what is necessary for what it is that's at hand. So who's running the control center? Is it our ego to protect our soul because we're fearful and we're going to put out a front for our personality? To protect the ego, I mean, I'm not faulting anybody. I'm talking about function and dysfunction. I'm talking about simply being honest with oneself of where we're coming from, where we are coming from when we're speaking. For us to be self-aware, because understand it's that self-awareness is going to help us win these battles. The adversary is pissed. And I think it's hilarious, although there is battle. The battle is imminent, and the battle is going to be internal. We're going to fight ourselves for a little bit. We've seen some of that already. We've seen us already fluff up some of the not-so-savory portions of ourselves going, ew, I look like that, and I look like that in public. Well, okay, turn the page. Let's do better next time. And it becomes actually that simple in the dance when we understand that when we make those missteps because we've had a mistake on an issue, we just have to show up for the next walk, the next path, the next time. It is the ego that gets attached to the circumstances of the past. The ego is the one that holds on until it's resolute, until there's resolution. The ego wants justice. The ego wants a pound of flesh at some times, but it is the soul in conjunction with the reasoning mind that is able to, with our empathic abilities and energy and our connectedness and our understanding of this, our compassion towards each other, that keeps us from being the self-will or the ego run riot, and keeps us from going from self-love and sharing with each other, right, to being from narcissism, a self-love and love of others, to a narcissistic personality disorder, which is a completely different story altogether, completely different bag of tricks. and so we need to understand that narcissist is it's not a bad word. We must have a degree of it if we're going to be resilient. We have to want to live. We have to want to love big enough to not give. And self-love is defined as a narcissism is love of self. So is it sinful to love yourself? Well, no. We love ourselves because God loved us. It transfers. And then we love others because we know how to love. And when we can accept those things inside ourselves that we used to find unacceptable and come to terms with it, and then when we learn other tools of how to get our ego needs met, case in point, I do have a high attention quotient. I wouldn't, a little bit sometimes. And when I was working in an office setting, you know, that it wasn't cool to go around and little Nancy neighbor to everybody. We had to sit down and do the work. And so what I did is strategically paste a bowl of miniature chocolates in my office. And so that when people would come to visit the chocolates, they visited the chocolates, not me. So when they would come to visit the chocolates, we'd have a little bit of a conversation and, you know, my attention need got met and I could focus on the job. And this is what I mean by understanding what your ego need is, meeting that ego need without it being at the expense of anybody else. Now, if I was narcissistic, I'd get up out of my desk and sense that everybody give me attention. And since that wasn't actually an acceptable frame of mind nor an acceptable behavior, I just put the chocolate there for everyone else to come to me, and it just seemed to work out real well, knowing that they weren't visiting me but the chocolate. That's an awareness to have. And then it works out real well. Because when the chocolate bowl was empty, the visits kind of settled down just a little bit. So there you have that, guys. You know, it's dealing with those things that we do have. We have a personality. It's there for a reason. You know, and we have a soul. And the personality does what it needs to do to dance with the ego to protect the soul so that nothing except what is invited with Holy Spirit, the soul, and all of that is running our control center. The ego is reflexive. Empathy is reflexive. So it becomes very necessary to make sure that we know who it is that's in charge of the mind or who's running our control center. And this doesn't mean anybody's going to do this perfectly. We're card-carrying members of the human race. But when we can be really honest with ourselves about ourselves, you know, and really take an honest look and then be okay with that and find out what it is that we need to get that need met rather than at the sake of somebody else, that's narcissism, that's self-love, that's self-care, that's taking care of ourselves without it being at the sake of other people. And so I think mainly, which as we go forward and we take a look at all of these portions, I think we'll go ahead and put some workshops together too. The Holy Spirit's got me moving to do some more things, and I'm just like chomping at the bit to find out, okay, Father, what is it we need to do? And so the guardians and I are talking back and forth and weighing the odds of some different things that are going on and will be coming up to see what kind of a time frame we have to do a launch of some different things. So for contending for the faith, we're fighting the flesh. We're fighting the ego. We're fighting the perceptions of the mind that are either doing a very well-adapted job of protecting the soul or a maladapted job of protecting the soul. But it is trying to protect the soul nonetheless. And so if we understand this dance, we understand what ego's job is, what its chief function is to attach us to here. It can either go very well or it can go not very well, right? So it depends on our perceptions, our beliefs, our choices and what we do and how we act out and how we choose not to act out. And sometimes acting out is good, and I'm not just talking about the negative acting out, you know, what we choose to do and what we choose not to do. what we choose to say and what we choose not to say, how we choose to tell the story and how we choose not to tell the story. You know, I could tell you a sad story about how, let me make something, I don't have a sad story at the top, how I stubbed my toe, and I could go into great detail of how awful my toe, my stubbed toe is, and I could draw it out and make it completely nauseating, or I can just get over it and I can say, you know, stubbed my toe, learned that lesson, and then laugh at ourselves, because sometimes we got to stub our toe to learn our lessons. Now, there's so kind of a multidimensional meaning on that. The Guardian said, just point to it. People will laugh because it was kind of funny. We do have a call coming in, 917 area code. Understand that we are bringing the program to a close at 9 o'clock, so the phone lines have been open until now. But we're going to go ahead and be bringing this down to a close. We've been talking about contending for the faith, that battle that is internal, the ones who want control, you know, charged to run the control center, our mind, our focus. And if we're not centered on Christ, the battle's imminent. We're all going to go through these battles, and some of them are going to be deeply painful battles. Some of them are going to be giggly battles. Some of them are not even going to be battles. But those battles that we have put off, the old ones, they're coming up. Holy Spirit is already invited. If you've already invited Holy Spirit, there's an understanding, an open understanding. Pride doesn't stand a chance. Now, is it Holy Spirit's job to humiliate us? No, but Holy Spirit will humble us. Holy Spirit will humble us. And you say, well, Leanna Grace, what's the difference between? Well, Holy Spirit will humble us in showing us who we are, as opposed to an ego job, which is, you know, directed towards humiliating us so that something else can feel better. Again, that's a narcissistic personality disorder trait, belittling someone else to make themselves feel better. Again, that's not self-love. That is sacrificing another for self-gain. So there's a difference in the disorder and the actual trait that is necessary for survival and resiliency. I am your host, Leanna Grace. I hope you enjoyed tonight's broadcast or podcast. Pod people, we love you too. For those who listen remotely, we don't know who you are. We do know that you are. The numbers reflect, and we thank you for joining us on the broadcast this evening. Contending for the faith, we're fighting flesh, we're fighting ourselves, we're fighting perceptions, we're fighting disbeliefs, we're fighting misbeliefs, we're fighting misinformation, we're fighting things that are just not true sometimes. And we're going to be able to have these opportunities to be able to tell the difference. We've been broadcasting live from the high mountain desert. And this is Holistic Truth. This is just a one-hour broadcast on Monday evenings. If we do continue to have the attendance here at this time of the evening, then we can go to a 90-minute broadcast. I won't mind that at all. And we can even see about having some extended hours going forward and stuff. Area code 202, thank you for joining us. Area code 917, I want to thank you as well. And for those of you in the chat room, I really didn't have that open very much, but I want to thank you for joining us as well. Stay focused on the topic. You know, the Guardians had me pushing it. They want me to bring this stuff to you so that we can understand how it is our internals are working for us and how it is our internal thinkers and our attitudes and thoughts like that can work against us. So I am your host, Leanna Grace. We've been broadcasting live from the High Mountain Desert. Hope you have found value in tonight's broadcast. Until next time, I am reminding you to, as always, to watch for those signposts, to connect these dots, to find your path, to live in love, and to do something good as we learn to forgive, because we'll awaken. That is Athua. Good night. Gonna